I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Good afternoon. I'm Anthony McCarthy, sitting in for Faraci on For My Culture. It is a great day. It's beautiful outside, and I could not wait to get behind this microphone here at Public Radio WEAA, the voice of the community. Every time I get to come back, I get excited to talk to you, the listeners of Public Radio. So today, over the next 2 hours, we're going to talk about everything. A county councilman out in Baltimore County, after a melee at a festival at East Point Mall, said these nasty city kids are the problem. These city kids are coming out here causing problems, as if county children don't get into fights, as if county children don't cause problems. Some people say his comments are downright racist. I want to know what you think. Or maybe he's right. Maybe these Baltimore City children need to stay at home, not going out to the mall. They can't seem to get control of themselves. Johnny O, the county executive, said, oh, no, you're not going to get me saying that. His spokesman, TJ Smith, a good friend of ours, he said, nope, we're not going to point fingers. We don't do that. But the county councilman doubled down. He said this is like the third incident that these children come out to the county and cause problems. Many of you probably remember months ago there was a festival. I think it had something to do with the basketball tournament. And a bunch of kids came. The mall folks got overwhelmed, and they shut the festival down, the carnival down, and fights broke out. Cars were destroyed. Some woman showed on the news, she got a black eye. Her son was attacked. He got a black eye. They were beat down. Maybe these children, these young people, are the problem. I want to know what you think. Or maybe this county councilman's a racist you-know-what and wants to point fingers at black kids. 410-319-8888. I'm going to give you his name. His name is Councilman Todd Crandall. I want you to look him up online. Look up the website. Send him an email. Let him know what you think. Councilman Crandall says that the people of Baltimore County are under siege by people who do not live here and who do not work here. They come out and they act like they have no sense in a civil society. He might as well say these black kids. He's a politician, so he used better words, but he essentially said these people who do not live here or work here have our county under siege. They're suggesting that there should be a curfew, very early curfew, for kids in the city to come to the county malls. 410-319-8888. I want to know what you think. In the next hour, we're going to talk about City Hall and what's going on down at City Hall. Our mayor is on a leave of absence. Our acting mayor is firing people. He says he don't want to be mayor, but he sure is acting like mayor. I want to know what you think about that. 410-319-8888. Black kids being pointed at as the problem for some of these problems. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened. And obviously some of these children are acting up. But to make a general statement about people who don't live or work here, coming out here, that we are under siege, I think you all know what he's saying. I think you know what he's trying to say, but he's being politically correct. 410-319-8888. I'm Anthony McCarthy, sitting in today for Faraci here on For My Culture. I want to know what you think. Rod's calling from Baltimore. Rod, always great to hear from you. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. What do you think the councilman was trying to say, Rod?
I don't know what he was trying to say, but how we know them kids was from the county. And this is the main thing I want to say. Nobody has said anything about, all right, the carnival. I'm a working man. I'm a truck driver.
Uh-huh.
I took my son to that carnival. It was Thursday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That carnival is so expensive, man. I had to get out of
there. That's what I heard.
I paid $60 for 50 tickets, and a ride is 4 tickets.
Oh, wow.
You understand what I'm saying? So I was mad. So I already knew when the kids get there, it was going to be a problem. They had security, but they weren't armed security.
Okay.
So, I mean,
so the kids didn't take them seriously.
Fault. It ain't the kids. It's the carnival at fault. The people who are let that carnival come there, they're at fault because that carnival is too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
For kids to go there. You can't take your kid there. A working person that works in Baltimore City can't take their kid there.
Mm.
Where they think they pulled up at? Beverly Hills, that carnival was too high, man. I drive trucks. It was too high.
Mm. Rod, I appreciate you. Thanks for your input. I think Rod has hit something. He's nailed something down. People are pointing to the kids. We're pointing at that idiot council person. But maybe the problem is that carnival. Maybe the carnival's breeding this kind of craziness out there. People are frustrated. And then when you shut that stuff down after inviting everyone there, the carnival folks are now saying that no more carnivals at East Point Mall. And some parents are posting on Facebook, this is the problem. This is the fault of these black kids ruining the fun carnival for all of our children. I'm telling you, black kids get the bad rap. 410-319-8888. Carrie is calling from Owens Mills. Carrie, very interested in what you say about this carnival and this councilman.
Yes, good evening.
Hey there, beautiful.
Thank you for taking my call. Actually, this is my second time calling.
Okay.
It's not so much even the carnival now. You can't go to the mall and enjoy yourself or take your family as mm-hmm. a family without something happening. Because not too long ago, my son and his friends, and they graduated from high school together. They're 18, 19, and 20. They uh-huh. went to the mall, and my sister and myself, we left early. We went to see a movie, left early.
That's right.
It was 7, 8 o'clock. So you had a mixture of Caucasian kids there, just as well as black kids there, mm-hmm. and they were in a group. Well, they caused a fight in Arundel Mill.
Wow.
The security officer was there, sat at the table in the eatery, didn't move, didn't do anything. Then the boys started actually provoking my son and his four friends. So my sister and I went back to the mall just to make sure everything
was That's it, Mama. That's it.
Get out of the mall without any confrontation because I knew how that was going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And my son said, Ma, they were calling us names, and all we were trying to do was order our food. And, you know, and I said, that could have just went left really quick, but I'm glad they acted like the gentleman that we raised them as and left. They told the cashier they're not going to eat there. It's best if they leave.
Mm.
And they left. And I told them they made the right decision.
You did something right, Mom.
But the security guard, I was appalled, and I had a conversation and a couple of choice words for him because I felt like he should have reacted
mm-hmm.
in a positive way, made those ones that was causing the problem leave the mall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sits down and tells them they need to quiet down. Now, he's seen them harassing the customers. And he chose to do nothing. And this is not even about the carnival so much.
Mm-hmm.
This happens on a regular day at any mall now.
When there is no carnival.
Yeah.
Well, Carrie, let me say this. I think you did what mothers are supposed to do. You trained your children up. They know how to act. And better yet, you went back to make sure that nothing happened. Too many parents don't know where their children are. And I just want to give you props for sticking by your boy. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate that. And hopefully a lot of other parents start following that lead because I told them as long as they in my roof,
Woo!
I need to know where they at,
yep.
what they doing, and who they with, and I know their friends.
Oh, I appreciate you, Carrie. Thanks for your call. Folks, isn't it funny? My mother raised me a certain way. And if she would hear that I was acting a fool or showing my behind somewhere, I got it when I got home. Too many children think that they can get away with anything. They are angels in front of their parents, and they are absolute monsters when they are away from their parents. But that does not excuse this county councilman saying that these people who don't live here and don't work here are the problem. Our county is under siege, he said. County Councilman Todd Crandall all but said, keep your little black children in the city. 410-319-8888. Dave's calling from Parkville. Dave, I appreciate you calling. Welcome to the program.
Appreciate it.
You're on the air.
Yeah, so I think in terms of what the county councilman said, I wouldn't. I mean, that means like.
Now speak your truth. I want you to speak your truth, Dave. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know this county councilman. I don't know. Obviously, I can't read his mind or anything like that. But I mean, over at East Point Mall, there have been incidents in the past. I think just when it comes to really the root of it, I wouldn't even necessarily place the emphasis on like what this county councilman said, because the root of the problem is if you're in a public place, if you've never had anyone model appropriate behavior for you, if you don't have a disciplinarian presence at home, if you're not afraid of any consequences of acting a certain way in public, and if you don't have any reason to, any respect or grounding for what should be common courtesy, which is not fighting at a child's carnival. I mean, that's really just the root of it there. If you don't have that, if you're never taught to do that, I mean, this is just the consequence of what's going to happen. And that's true of anyone, whether you're in the city or the county, whether you're white or black. That's just true of anyone, especially once they hit adolescence and they hit that age where they are becoming more independent. They're, you know, away from their parents more often, that type of thing. That being said, as far as what the county councilman said, I think, you know, it may very well be if you have, like, the instigators of all these incidents, regardless of whether or not they're, like, black or whether or not they're white, if you find that the vast majority of incidents are caused by people in the city, race aside, it could be a white person or a black person in the city, then, I mean, technically he would be correct. But that being said, I'm not confident that that's the case. I think siege is definitely hyperbole.
Of course.
I think he's sort of trying to drum up a little bit of political momentum. I would imagine that in his district, you know, the East Point
Mall. There you go.
Probably have a lot of constituents in the East Point Mall. They do a lot of commerce. The people that, you know, own the East Point Mall are in the position to make political contributions because they're probably making some pretty good money. I think that's really the crux of it, is to just, you know, not place any blame on anyone within his district and rather just sort of score some political points.
Dave, I appreciate your comments. I want to move on. We have a bunch of folks who want to get on and share their thoughts. 410-319-8888. Dave is right. I appreciate his comments. I think that too often there is no consequence for bad behavior, and you have to call bad behavior out. But do you have to point the finger at black city kids? And I think that County Councilman Todd Crandall was trying to score some points. He may call in here in just a few minutes if people call and tell him we're talking about him. Maybe he'll give us his rationale and his reason for saying our county is under siege by people who do not live or work here and have no idea how to act in civil society. Troy's calling from Baltimore County. Troy, I appreciate you calling in. Give us your thoughts.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah, how you doing? Sorry, I have a drive. Hey, look, Mr.
That's all right.
Look, I was down Montgomery like 2 months ago, and I heard a young lady talking to her girlfriend. They would ask her where she lived at. And she was like, you know, I live out on Dundalk. I'm never moving back in the city.
Oh, wow.
And I was walking by her, and I remember thinking to myself when she said that, I was saying, well, you know, there's not too much difference between Dundalk and Walmart City.
That's right.
East Point. I'm like, she said, like, I live in Dundalk, like it was,
like,
you know,
it was far away.
I'm like, miss, you probably just moved there now because of certain things would to a benefit for you. But that is, I'm not saying, I know the guy was upset, and you know, when I think about some, you know, we do have kids that act rowdy. We're not denying it. But for him to point the fingers, like, we all know what he was saying when he said that. But sometimes when you look at some of the issues we have in Baltimore City, like take for instance, like the R-scape, our AFRAM, mm-hmm. look at how many different locations that's
very been. True.
You know, and I'm saying, I don't want to say it's a bad thing, but we know sometimes that playful fist fighting and bumping and all that, that's playing to them.
Uh-huh.
To other people, that's you know, that's a threatening situation.
Troy, you and are happens, on point.
And it happens, you know, even with black people, even though when we see it, we be like, look, man, look, shorty, stop acting like that, because we know y'all playing, but it makes y'all look violent to them.
Uh-huh.
Don't fist fight and slap like that. Back in the day, we could do that to a certain point, but now, you know, these kids got to be a little more socially conscious, which they're not because they're kids.
Mm-hmm. They're children, that's right.
They got to be a little socially conscious when they go certain places. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you don't act a certain way, but in a sense, you have to act a certain way. Act the way, you know, you was kind of raised, you know. Mm-hmm. It's let's just deal with reality. When he said it, I knew what he was saying. I was mad that he was saying it. But, you know, that 25% of me was like saying, you know, these kids are a little off the chain. And you got to call it for what it is, man. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. Troy, thanks. I appreciate you. Thanks for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. 410-319-8888 is the number to call in. And I have to tell you, I say this all the time. I hope you all believe me. If there was a little Anthony McCarthy and I sent him to a festival, and I found out that he was involved in a melee, his tail end would hurt for days, because once he got into the fight at the mall, once he got home, he better be prepared to fight, because I'm going to whip his tail. You do not represent me, my family, or our household like you are a thug out in the street. Now, I believe that children should protect themselves, but they should never be in a situation where they got to throw down and fight at a carnival. Now, I also do not excuse Councilman Todd Crandall for his little racist remarks. Lisa's calling for Silver Spring. Lisa's calling from all the way up in Silver Spring. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you?
That's good. I'm first-time caller.
Oh, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm a teacher, so I have a different point of view.
Very true.
From some of your callers.
Thank you for thank you for what you do for kids.
Thank you. I believe that a lot of these things start from home training. I have a 16-year-old son that when he goes out in public, that he represents me and he acts a certain way. And he knows that I would be very upset if I heard otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of these kids, not even talking about race or anything, when they go out in public, maybe they weren't taught how to act in public. A lot of these kids don't, you know, have a certain experiences to know mm-hmm. how to act in public, and when they're put in certain situations, what to do. A lot of it is how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with the councilman when he said that if it's data driven. I'm a teacher, so if he has data to back up who's acting up or who's not,
mm-hmm.
if it's the city kids, it's the city kids. You know, call a spade a spade. If it's them, then it's them. If they need a curfew, maybe that will wake them up and let them know that, you know, a certain type of behavior is required if you want to be in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about safety. You don't want your kid to go out there and get in a fight.
Amen.
Like I wouldn't.
Amen.
So I think it falls on data. If he has the data to make that statement, then I support him.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes on home training, what the expectations are when they go out in public, how they act at home even. So it's all about safety. So if they don't know how to act when they go out in public, I believe that the curfew would wake them up and show them what's expected of them.
Now, Lisa, one of the interesting things about what you said is people do not like to say that it is children's home environment. We are so afraid of, we really are afraid of casting judgment on people in their households that we don't like to say, well, if you're not teaching your child how to respect,
mm-hmm.
Then when they get out in public, they don't know how to show respect.
Exactly.
They must see their parents or their caregivers display respect.
Exactly.
Or they're going to act any certain way. Lisa, I appreciate you. Thanks for your call. You know, 410-319-8888. There have been several festivals out in the county at these malls, Westside Mall, Ricetown Mall, East Point Mall, Mondawmin Mall, and things seem to go wrong. And the malls don't do enough planning. They don't have enough security. The festivals are overpriced. And fights break out when you try to shut it down and send these kids home. Now, this county councilman said, and I agree, I understand people are saying if it's data-driven, if you have data that shows city kids are coming out to the county causing problems, show me that data. Otherwise, saying that our county is under siege by people who do not live or work here and have no idea how to act in a civil society. Now, that's a big net he's throwing. That's a huge net. We're going to take one more call before we go to break. Let me go to Veronica. Veronica's calling from right here in Baltimore. Veronica, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. It's actually Monica.
Oh, Monica. Let me get it right. I am sorry, love.
That is okay. I had a couple of things to say. As far as the first caller talking about the carnival being overpriced,
yes.
Like very, very high priced. Trust and believe, somebody in Crandall's office knew that that carnival was coming through. They knew what the price point was going to be. Nothing comes in and out of either the county, the city, without members of the council.
Come on, Monica, speak truth.
It.
Yep.
So for Councilman Crandall to say that his county is under siege, he is talking not only about what happened at the carnival, he's talking about moving the city, the poor city families that are on public assistance out into Dundalk.
Under siege. That's the language he uses.
If you go to his page, it shows you right there the 7th district and what those neighborhoods encounter. And some of those are the most racist of neighborhoods in Baltimore, South Baltimore County.
Mm-hmm.
So. There you go. That's all,
Monica.
I have to say,
thank
y'all.
You, my love. Thank you for bringing some information to us. You know, a teacher said that, you know, if this is data driven, then it's the facts. Well, if it's data driven that people are making generalizations or people are practicing racist behavior, that's data driven as well. We're going to call it out. What do you think about the shutting down of the festivals in Baltimore County and the county councilman saying, please, God, we're under siege. Help us. These black kids are coming from the city. We'll be back in just a moment.
I do this for my culture.
Good evening. I'm Anthony McCarthy, sitting in for my good friend Faraji for the culture. Tonight, we want to talk to you. What is going on out in Baltimore County at East Point Mall on Easter? There was a huge carnival. I drove by there. I did not stop. It's not my thing. Too many people. A lot of people were out there. So many people, in fact, that the mall decided to shut it down. When they shut it down, fights broke out. This is like the third or fourth time in the last several months that we hear about these festivals going wrong. Crowds of young people. One county councilman out in Baltimore said that he believes that his county is under siege by people who do not live here or work here and have no idea how to act in civil society. He's gone further and said these are city children that cause these problems and they should stay at home. 410-319-8888. What do you think about that? And do we hold some responsibility? If our children are going out to a festival and breaking out into fights, if they're going out to malls, threatening, bullying people, then we owe some responsibility to our children. I want to know what you think. Will's calling from Pikesville. Will, thank you for calling. Give me your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts are you're not going to find them very pleasant. I agree with the congressman 100%, and I've been black for 63 years.
All right.
I agree at the school teacher also. Mm-hmm. I feel as though that we make up too many excuses for black youth and other black people. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his life for a very wonderful thing, and I think he accomplished it. But we have millions, too many people in our race who are working overtime to destroy everything he accomplished by acting like they don't have any upbringing. In the early 1960s, the government took prayer out of school. They took corporal punishment out of school. In the early 70s, they encouraged black females who were not full grown to start having kids like crazy, 6-7 kids by different men, didn't want to have a man inside your household. Then they rented the school system impotent, unable to discipline kids, parents terrified to spank their kids. But I do blame the black race for most of this. This has a lot to do with spiritual warfare. If we ever going to be accepted by other races of people, and even by blacks from other countries, we have got to take responsibility for ourselves and our children. We got to stop tolerating this. We got to stop making excuses. I can't believe that the people who ran the fair would be blamed because there was no security. If these inner city youth were civilized,
how do you know they're inner city children, Will?
Because I've been around. I've seen how they act. Not all of them.
Okay,
not all of them. Now, to be fair about the whole thing, uh-huh. It's not all. I'm not going to say that it's the majority of them, but it's still too many to make sense. Mm-hmm. And they've been causing trouble since the late 60s, early 70s. You know, and it's sad. Mm-hmm. It's very tragic. I'm not an enemy of my race, but if we are going to be accepted, and I said this before, we have got to stop blaming everybody and take responsibility. My wife and I were in the car half an hour ago, young black man, early 20s, blasted some extremely filthy music. And we're Christians. We don't want to hear that filth. Mm-hmm. And he was just grinning. Well, I pretty much said what I have
Will,
to say,
I appreciate
but we got to stop
you.
The excuses.
I appreciate you. Thanks for your call. And I'm not sure why Will thought that I wouldn't appreciate his comments. I appreciate everybody's comments. And when you don't agree with me, that's all right with me. I'm big enough and wear my big boy pants. I don't mind if people disagree with me. And you can agree with this councilman who said that the county is under siege by people who do not live here or work here and don't know how to act in a civil society. You may think that's okay. I think he made a generalization about black kids. And I don't want black kids to be blamed for everything that goes wrong. Now, I'm not saying that these children are perfect, that these children always act like they're supposed to or what the way I would like for them to act. But we don't have to paint one picture of all children. Let me see. Charles, you've been holding for a while. Appreciate your patience. Welcome to the program.
Yes, how you doing?
Great to talk to you.
Yeah, I was on earlier. Y'all dropped my call, so.
I didn't drop anybody's call. Are you going to give us a comment, or are you going to whine about your call being dropped?
I'm going to give you a comment, and I'm going to whine about my call being dropped. Why you dropped my call?
Go ahead, sir.
Act like you don't know what happened. But anyway, what I'm talking about is pent-up frustration. Oh. That's what's going on with the children. Mm-hmm. They have pent-up frustration. So you got to ask yourself, what happens after the playground? See, all this has been orchestrated all around Baltimore, and not just Baltimore, other cities, counties, and states. Mm-hmm. They're taking down the basketball goals and the basketball net. Mm-hmm. So what organized sports do children have?
Come on,
I mean,
Charles.
What mm-hmm. outlet do children have? Well, let me tell you what outlet they have. Well, since they can't run up and down the basketball court, they'll run up and down the streets.
In the mall. You are right.
Wherever they can, because this is where your society, not really your society, but your politicians, with all their rules and regulations,
This is where they have pushed the children. And this is nothing more than rats in a trap.
Ooh.
And rats will go where they are pushed. Mm. And we do not see people that have sworn to look out for your welfare. We don't see them instituting anything that looks out for your welfare, for your children, for your health, for your neighborhood. They're just looking out for their pockets. I mean, you want to buy a copy of Holly Holly?
Charles, thanks for your call. Appreciate you. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. What do we need to do? This story has been repeated over and over again. A festival at the mall goes bad. Kids start fighting. People get hurt. Cars get destroyed. Police get called out. There's never enough security. Now one councilman says that it's our fault. He said, our county's under siege by people who don't look like, well, he didn't say look like us, don't work here, don't live here. 410-319-8888. Vincent, calling from Baltimore, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
I want to make 3 points.
Okay.
The first one, parents want to be their kids' friends.
Yeah.
There's no line drawn there.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the economic situation causes parents to be away from home and kids to run wild with those who could influence them.
Okay.
And three, the behavior of these kids conform what the white people think about black people. They are ignorant. And that's very, very painful and hurtful. That's all I got to say, bro.
Appreciate you. 410-319-8888. Ishaka Ra Hannibal L. calling from right here in Baltimore. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Oh, he dropped that call. Sorry. He's going to call and yell at me. Mark's calling from Pikesville. Mark, I appreciate you calling. Give me your thought on what is going on at these county festivals.
Well, I want to say two things.
Okay.
The first is, this is nothing new. Now, the one thing that the county councilman said was that the county was under siege, but I'm 47 years old, and this is nothing new in Baltimore County,
mm-hmm.
because Baltimore County, you know, we had these type of fights and skirmishes in the 80s with the Randallstown kids, the Woodlawn kids, all those things. And let's be honest. You couldn't go to, if you were black, you couldn't go to South Baltimore without a fight breaking out.
Very true.
If you couldn't go to Lansdowne. The last riot that I know of was in the 90s in Lansdowne, you know, where it was a race riot, and it was a small number of black people and massive numbers of white folks.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't go to Dundalk or Middle River as a black person and what have you without the threat of violence all the way up until now. So these incidents and these things that happen around poor white kids don't make the news like this does, but anybody who's actually ever lived here knows that this is a fact. The other thing in Baltimore County, all over Baltimore County, and if you get some teachers on the line that teach at Owings Mills, Franklin, Woodlawn, all these schools, they will tell you that the schools, there are a lot of Crips and Bloods in Baltimore County public schools.
Mark, you're telling the truth. There are a ton of
Crips and Bloods in those schools. So it's not kids from the city. It's literally Baltimore County has a gang infestation problem as well. The last thing that I wanted to say, and I just want you to take this under consideration. You said that if there was a little Anthony McCarthy and you found out that they were at a festival and they got in a fight, that they would be in trouble when they got home. I am going to tell you, as a 47-year-old, very successful black young man, it's just now and when I'm sitting at family dinners with my parents that I tell them, as I went to Roland Park and I went to Poly and all these places, all of the fights that we got in crossing town because of just general tribalism of being able to move through a city.
Mm.
You know, I'm on the west side. I got to go to the east side to go to school. I got to go through downtown. You run into different groups and different situations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anybody who came up here who used to go to the harbor as a kid, when you had to deal with that Murphy Holmes crew that would come through, okay? So you could be upset.
Yeah.
I would tell my parents about these stories, these skirmishes that we got in as a matter of survival. I didn't go out of the house looking for a fight.
Yeah.
I just had to deal with it when it came. So sometimes, you know, that's a reality of life, that you end up in some situations and you don't have to be the bad kid. I don't have to be going against the training of my parents because I ended up in a fight. My job was to get home alive, and I came, and clearly I'm 47. I came home alive every time,
every
but I've
time.
Been in that situation more times than I ever
Mark,
you know, care to talk about.
I appreciate you. I appreciate your comments. Thanks for sharing your perspective with us. E. Shakir Hannibal L. is back on the line. Sorry about dropping the call earlier. Welcome to the program.
Hey, peace and blessings,
peace
Anthony.
Peace and blessings to you.
E. Shakir Hannibal L.
Shakir, yes, I know you.
Yeah, no problem with dropping the call. I just want to make a couple of statements.
Go ahead, brother.
The guy just got off. He was saying how old he was. I'm in my 60s. And if I had some money for every time I was chased out of Highland Town and Dundalk, I'd be well off. If I had some money for every time the bus I was riding on got rocks thrown at it, riding through Hamden and places like that, I'd be rich. But now, this councilman or whatever his position is, crying the blues about our children coming out in the county, well, I would ask him, why did his friends and all the legislatures and the business community and all those type of people get in cahoots and remove all the theaters and skating rinks and things of that nature? Why all the recreation centers closed up? If we had all of those things, then we wouldn't have to worry about him, you know, making these statements, because our children wouldn't even have to go out there to a carnival. They wouldn't have to go out to the mall just to get some kind of relief from this mad city we living in. So, in a last comment, when they have these championship games at these universities and when certain teams win the Super Bowl and things of that nature, and these white children and adults sometimes turn over cars and burn up trash cans and do all kinds of madness. And this is something that goes on kind of frequent. We don't hear all that kind of rhetoric about animals and barbarians and, you know, predators and all that. They just come up and they pat them on the back and say, oh, boys will be boys.
Oh, yeah.
So I just wanted to put that perspective into play and let people think twice, because a lot of our people, they just jump on the bandwagon. Whenever our children do something, they don't never question the why. They just want to punish them and join in and condemn them. So that's my perspective, and thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate your call. Thanks for sharing your ideas with us. You know, one of my first times, I grew up, most of you who knew me and knew my radio career, I grew up in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. I grew up in the country and came to Baltimore and have never left. Love this city. Will never leave. One of my first experiences, though, was Kurt Schmoke being elected mayor of the city, the first black elected mayor of the city. Kurt Schmoke went to, which is tradition, the Hamden Mayor's Christmas Parade. These white folks threw eggs at him. The whole time he was walking and riding in that parade, they threw eggs and called him the N-word. This was the mayor of our city. So let's not get blinders and think that bad behavior is only subscribed to one group of people. We know it's not. Let me get back on the phones. I want to hear from you. Dwayne, you've been holding for a while. Dwayne, I appreciate you calling from Baltimore. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Man, these have been some pretty good calls. And your last two callers kind of got in my head, I must admit.
Okay.
because the two callers previous, I'm like right on board.
On board, yes.
Your last two callers kind of threw a little wrench in my thought process. However, I do have a general pushback from those previous two callers. Look, at the end of the day, okay, we all understand Baltimore's history. Yeah. Okay, there's an excellent book called "Not in My Neighborhood."
Not in my neighborhood.
All about the racism and how, you know, the integration of Baltimore was a challenge for black people at the hands of white people. Redlining, harassment, bombing people's houses with bricks and all that stuff. Not in My Neighborhood, great book. But my pushback is this. At the end of the day, we're not talking about the bad behavior of white kids. Mm-hmm. Our concern is the bad behavior of black kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And at the end of the day, we all know that we have some challenges. Okay? We know it. You know why we know it? Because every time we look at the television and they flash a young black face mm-hmm. in association with some kind of legal challenge, we all have a little sagging of the heart. And everybody knows that feeling. Okay? Every black person who watches TV, who watches the news, knows what I'm talking about. So my message is, at the end of the day, we've got to do better. Yeah. We've got to raise our standards. We've got to make our kids have higher standards. And that's just not in their behavior, but across the board, because we all know that we have challenges. And if we're going to speak truth to power, we also have to speak truth to ourselves.
Mm. Dwayne, you're on point. There's hardly anything I can disagree with what you said. We have to have a great standard. We've got to set a great standard so that our children follow our lead. And when they act out of that character, then we have to be adult enough and honest enough to call them on that as well. And hold people accountable for their behavior. Gene's calling from Pikesville. Gene, I appreciate you holding. Welcome to the program.
Anthony, always a pleasure.
Oh, great to hear your voice.
Man, I'm serious. Whenever I hear your voice, I get perked up.
Thank you.
Yeah, and also I wanted to say something. You know, I always let people know that I'm totally blind.
Oh, okay.
Prior to me being, losing my sight, I had the pleasure of going to seeing the Shenandoah Valley in the springtime.
Yes.
Most beautiful place on earth. I don't know if people notice this. That is one of the most beautiful places on earth.
I feel so blessed to have grown up there under the shadows of those beautiful mountains and good, decent people. Good, decent people. Gene, tell me what you're thinking.
Yeah, okay. So this unrealistic goal of black people having to be twice as good as white people, that is a wonderful sentiment, but it is so unrealistic. And I love the brother who just called, and I listened to his comments, and I'm inspired by his youth and his his optimism. But to have this unrealistic perspective that black people have to be two times better than white people for us to make it, let's go back and look at Reconstruction. No skill, slavery, almost 250 years, and we excelled with literally being totally, almost in a lot of cases, ignorant, and we did well. First generation out of slavery, maybe second generation. We had Carter G. Woodson, Dr. W. E. B. Du Bois. Come on, people! We are good as any. We're not better than most. Wow. And so I wanted to say that. The other thing too is like, the missing 71,000 people who left the city, and then 300,000 other people who left the city. Where did they go?
Where did they go?
They went to the counties, people. They went to the counties, and the people in the counties are resentful of them.
They
for
don't
being their
like it. They don't like it at all.
And so when they say that the people who caused the problems are from Baltimore City, that's their perception, but it's a lie. You know, so you had somebody 43 years old, you had somebody 60 years old, I'm 73 years old.
Wow.
Okay, so I graduated high school, Edmondson High School, in 1964.
And I wasn't even born yet.
That's okay, so you'll be all right.
I'll make it,
and
that's
and
right.
If you're lucky, you'll live to be
praise
longer
the Lord.
Than me.
Amen.
So what we had was then, we had intramural sports where we played the parochial schools and the private schools. And the city schools, you know, played those other two entities, right? And the same thing happened then. There were altercations in the parochial schools and the private schools pulled out of intramural sports with the city based on racial issues. This is nothing new, people. And I, you know, and you, Anthony, you know, we could go back to 1865 mm-hmm. when it first started. We hardly ever talk about the the Freedmen's Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't talk about how the Republican Party disenfranchised us after 1876. You know, we don't talk about these things, and we were literally on our own, and we do all right.
Mm.
And so, I hope that, especially black people, that you don't have the perception that there's something wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing we don't talk about is marijuana.
Yeah.
The recreational use of marijuana that's happening right now, and the prohibition of marijuana. And so, when I was in the 60s and smoking pot, and like we used to go out and we used to have fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these kids, more of them are using marijuana. I can't even think of it. The imitation marijuana,
uh-huh.
whatever it's called, or whatever, and they are affected by this. Their brains are literally changing, but we don't talk about the effect of marijuana and effect of drugs that young people are using,
mm-hmm.
and that people have used over a period of time, and how it affects their brains.
Gene, I got to get some of these other callers in. Thanks for the lesson. Thank you for the wisdom. We really appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. Brother Leo is on the line. I can't go through the hour without taking Leo's call. Leo, always great to hear from you. Give me your perspective.
Brother Anthony McCarthy, God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, some of your callers, in my opinion, have great sense, and some of them I don't know. I just don't know. You know what? I'm privileged and blessed to be the founder of an organization called Roots of Scouting Incorporated.
Scouting.
We work
yes.
with youth, economic empowerment, camping. We do everything for our youth, families, and community. Our goal is to make our neighborhoods throughout the diaspora an oasis of black excellence and black empowerment. As a consequence thereof, I am not seeking white acceptance. I don't mind interacting and learning. Learning is not black or white or green. You can learn from people of all races and creeds. But what I learned in the case of East Point is that they put the dogs on the kids and pepper spray. Sounds like Birmingham, Alabama in the 1960s. Okay, so East Point Mall racism at an overcrowded carnival, they should have made more provisions on crowd control at that carnival.
Mm-hmm.
When a black child is wrong, he should be chastised, counseled, and disciplined. When a white child is wrong, the same thing must apply. So stereotyping black folks and eating humble pie on your knees, talking about and acting and saying what white folks want to hear is not going to advance our goals and objectives as a people. We must liberate our folk. Education is number one priority. There is no task more sacred than the education and liberation of our people.
Leo, we're out of time. You're the final caller. I appreciate you. Thank you for everything you've done for black children. You are amazing. Anthony, Kenneth, Mel, Shonda, all of the callers that are still on hold. If you hold on to the next hour, we'll take your call. We'll continue this conversation. Plus, I have some things to say about City Hall. It would be wrong of me to come on the air and pretend like I don't know what's going on down there. So we'll talk about that as well. Donald Trump says he's the most transparent president in the history of our country. What is he smoking? I want us to have a conversation about that as well. I'm sitting in for Faraji here for The Culture. I'm Anthony McCarthy. This is Public Radio WEAA. We'll be right back.